الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا محمد وآله الطاهرين، واللعنة على أعدائهم أجمعين. We were talking about the family issues and the obstacles in the way of marriage, and then we were done with that and we started to talk about the next step, which is doing the research and how much it is permitted in Islam and how much it is permitted to see each other, to what extent. We discussed about that in detail, and the fact that so it's the next stage of the next stage is about it's about the ceremonies and in and the what you call the when we finally see each other and it's decided, to things get decided and about the marriage, then the next step is the ceremonies that we hold, inviting people for food, inviting people for for the marriage ceremony. And there are specific rules in Islam about holding the marriage ceremony. First of all, those are the people who are Ahlul Munkar, Walaikum Assalam wa rahmatullah. Those who are Ahlul Munkar, Munkar means an evil or a bad spiritual attribute or a bad thing which Islam does not allow. The evil things and the bad things and the bad spiritual attributes, like we have this Amr bil Ma'ruf, bidding the good, and Nahi anil Munkar, forbidding the bad. So we talked about Amr bil Ma'ruf and Nahi anil Munkar in detail in this same class, I think several months ago. So those people who are Ahlul Munkar, that means those who perform the evil things and bad things and condemned spiritual attributes, and these type of people should be avoided. Ahlul Munkar, we need to do Amr bil Ma'ruf and Nahi anil Munkar towards them. That means bidding the good and forbidding the bad. We need to advise them to stop doing the wrongs. Regardless of the fact that Islam is not allowing us to invite those people in our Islamic gatherings, unless they change their policies, their attitudes, they stop doing the wrong, and then it will be okay to invite them in the gatherings. The bad thing of inviting those people who do the bad things, the minus of inviting these people is that munkar and bad things do not stay where they are in the society. It spreads. If you do not take a stand and you allow them to come in your gathering, there is always a possibility and likelihood that an ihtimal that the munkar, that means the bad, would spread to others who are in the gathering. And anybody who learns the munkar from these people who are doing wrongs, we will be part of the sin if we are accommodating, allowing, and we are basically facilitating the munkar and the wrong to get spread in that ceremony which we are the hosts. Munkarat, the bad things should be
should always be stopped and discouraged,
not encouraged and accommodated or facilitated. And
there's only one way you can invite the Ahlul Munkar in your gathering. If first of all you do the Amar bil Maruf and Nahi anil Munkar, bidding the good and forbidding the bad, you advise them from you do the Nahi, forbidding the bad, Nahi anil Munkar, you do the Nahi anil Munkar, that means forbidding the bad. And also you are muraqib, that means you keep an eye. So if they are trying to spread the wrongs in the ceremony, then you have to take a stand and stop the wrongs. Because Islam is a religion of higher spiritual values. We do not want the wrongs to be spread and in the society, and especially in a gathering which we are the hosts. Otherwise we will be part of the haram. Likewise, whenever we are inviting people in a ceremony, we should also take into consideration that those who are Ahlul Lahab, Wal-La'ib, should be avoided. Allah wal la'ib. La'ib means, a very simple translation or simplistic translation is play. And lahav is amusement. But that's not a very precise translation. You will usually find these translations in different texts, play and amusement, la'ib and lahab. Actually, these two terms of Islamic jurisprudence, it's widely found in different chapters of Islamic jurisprudence. These two terms in Arabic are have deeper meanings. Lahab is defined as anything which has an imaginative goal, not a real goal. Anything which has an imaginative goal, not a real one. That's how Allah Matabatawai has defined lahav and la'ib in his tafsir. In his tafsir, and likewise la'ib is lahav ghayati juz khiyal nadashte washad. Whereas la'ib is anything that this is the meaning of la'ib. And lahav is what I am defining now, that lahav is defined as anything that engages a person away from Allah's remembrance. Anything that engages a person so he no longer remembers Allah, becomes ghafil and ignorant
from the zikr and remembrance of Allah, because he gets engaged and involved in that thing. So anything that engages you in itself and makes you ghafil and ignorant from the remembrance of Allah is categorized to be quote unquote a lahab. And la'ib is something which has an imaginative goal. So, well, usually in Arabic, all those games that we play are also la'ib. In Arabic, they use the same word la'ib, play, for all the games. And remember, all the games have imaginative goals. In the real life, you achieve nothing in here. What you achieve in real life, I mean, why in the world do we play? If Islam doesn't permit la'ib, then why are we playing different games? Soccer, cricket, so and so forth, so many different games that we are playing in our life. Basketball, baseball, so and so forth. So we play because of those things. Excuse me. Islam is a religion which is asking people to live a real life, embracing the realities of the universe, not an imaginative life which has nothing to do with the practical aspects of human life. So why are we playing when it has all the games have imaginative goals? I mean, you score a 1-0 and you win the match, okay, what did you get spiritually at the end of the day? Is there any spiritual nuraniyat and divine light that you gained out of it? What was the net gain? Nothing. What you gained is a good exercise. That's very nice, very logical. Islam promotes exercise. You maintain your health, you take care of your health, you protect your well-being so that you become a productive human being for the society. You serve the humanity, you serve Islam. So this is something real. This is not an imaginative goal. So, and those are the reasons why those games become permissible in the Sharia, because of those realistic aspects which are attached to the games. So otherwise, if there is a way for you to separate the realistic goals from the imaginative ones, then anything which falls in this category, there is no room in Islam for us to accept that. Why we accept the games is because of certain other reasons. And one of very good reasons that maybe is playing a role in acceptance, that's what I meant, of the games is the exercise, which is good in Islam, that you keep yourself healthy, fit, smart, and productive. And likewise, dignity. You know, sometimes it is a means of dignity in the sense that, well, the national anthem of the whole country or such and such, you know, country, a Muslim country is played and the flag is raised high on the mast. So there is a level of shaukat, izzat, dignity and of that country involved. So there is a level of shaukat and sha'an and dignity which may be also playing a role in reversing the ruling about the games. Otherwise, anything that falls in the category of la'ib, having an imaginative goal, not a real one, is we don't accept. It's not acceptable in Islam. It's not justifiable, because Islam wants us to live a life in reality, in real world, with real goals, real things, real conditions. So this is a little description of the word lahav and la'ib. So those of the people who are into lahav and la'ib, they are the ones whom we call ahlul lahav and wal la'ib. Those who are into these two things. We are not supposed to invite such people who are into lahav and la'ib in our gatherings. That's not permissible. Because Islam does not allow lahav and la'ib. That's why those who belong to those things are not permissible to be invited. Third of all, is it clear? Okay.
Third of all, I'll erase this. Of all, when we are hosting a gathering, like inviting magicians, Shobdebazi, what do you call it in English? So, yeah, करतब दिखाते हैं लोग. So basically, something similar to magicians and those types of magic is haram in Islam. There is. So the magic which is haram is the one which is in which the, I mean, what from magic what we mean, there is a quote unquote a knowledge. I mean, I hate to use the word knowledge for magic because it's a very evil thing, but the knowledge of logic, practicing that knowledge of logic is haram in Islam. There is a very evil procedure of doing magic, and lots of harams are involved. Actually, lots of spiritually prohibited acts are involved in the process of doing that magic, and those processes are all haram. They misuse the verses of Holy Quran because Quran has power. Quran is the word of God. It's nothing but Nur of Allah. And it's powerful. So those people who are cunning and they have certain clues which they learned from different Islamic sources, but they are misusing the clues of Quran because they are, in one sense, they are intelligent people because they have discovered certain things about the power of Quran that lots of people still did not discover about Quran. So what they do is they misuse certain verses of Holy Quran in a specific format, in a specific way, and misuse it, and they do things which are, you know, totally forbidden in Islam. Putting the Holy Quran and its verses in the toilet, in the washroom, doing certain things which are, of course, very bad and evil. So magic is haram, and even taking money by doing magic is something which is haram in Islam. And so those type of people cannot be invited who perform the haram things in their life. A person who performs that magic which I am talking about is nothing, none but a kafir, because no one can put the verses of Quran in the najasat and do those types of things except if a person who is a disbeliever, doesn't believe in God. Likewise, from the when we talked about this lahw and la'ib, I hope it's clear in your minds that there's all those musicians which are invited in different gatherings. Islam is not permitting us to bring those people who are playing the haram types of music which the Sharia calls mutrib. Music is of two kinds, mutrib and non-mutrib. The non-mutrib music is allowed in Islam. We are not talking about the non-mutrib. That is okay.
Those of the musicians who are playing the mutrib music should not be invited, because of course it falls in the category of lahw, and also it falls in the category of la'ib.
Mutrib music is lahw and la'ib, and those people cannot be invited.
Non-mutrib music, that's fine. That's, Islam doesn't have a problem with that.
Even if you are not inviting, you are not the host of the ceremony, let's suppose someone else is the host, but you go and you find they have invited people like this, you have to do Amr bil Ma'ruf and Nahy anil Munkar. That means you have to forbidding the good and forbidding the bad. That's our general duty, which will apply in all the cases. When we see the bad things, we need to take a stand and very respectfully say that this is not right, and try to stop it. And we should, if somebody is not doing a wajib, then very respectfully we have to say it and take a stand. So if you are invited in a gathering which is hosted by someone else and you find that lahw and la'ib are taking place, then you have to take a stand. If you stay quiet and you don't take respectfully, you don't take a stand, then you will be part, or you will be considered as part of that wrong. You cannot be a silent spectator of whatever is going on. We respectfully disagree and announce our disagreement. And because, also it is to be remembered when we are talking about the ceremonies that we hold, that photography and video makers are very common thing nowadays, videography, whatever they call it. So some of the Muslims, when they are holding ceremonies, they invite people, photographers and those who are making videos of the ceremonies, they invite these people, and these people just walk in into the ladies' side, and we know it, ladies are not wearing hijab in so many of those ceremonies, marriage ceremonies and stuff. On their ladies' side, they are just sitting without hijab or doing makeup and all that, exposing the adornment and zenith. And that, in that case, that's okay for the ladies to be on their side. But then if you are inviting a photographer who is non-mahram person, a male, then Islam is not asking and not allowing anyone to send this male guy into the ladies' side to make a video. That's done by some people. But this should be very clear, and Islam does not support that. Even inviting a photographer, a person who is making a video, knowingly that you have to send him to the lady's side and he is going to end up making video or photos, knowingly inviting the person will of course not be permissible. That's not allowed. It's not allowed in Islam, and that there is no room for that. You have to bring the female photographers for the ladies and the male ones for the men. Unless if the ladies are not wearing makeup and they are in full hijab, then it's okay. A non-mahram can take their photographs. But otherwise, if they are in makeup and they are not in hijab, then no male can be invited in our gatherings to go on their side and take a photograph or video. This is not permissible. This is a very commonly encountered problem, unfortunately, because some people don't abide by the Islamic rulings. Even if you go to, I travel in different states and on those marriage ceremonies, there are male waiters
in the hotels or wherever you are holding your ceremony of your son or daughter, and these male people are just walking in the lady's side and bringing food and doing all this, you know. So it simply is wrong, and this has to be stopped. In the pious families who care about Allah, we don't let the non-mahram people to just walk into the lady's side in that situations. And also, when Islam is not permitting us to bring this category of people who are doing harams or evil acts, or this category of people who are doing lahb and la'ib acts, or this category of people doing the haram, magic, or this category of people who are, of course, who will do photography in front of non-mahram women, knowingly that they are not wearing hijab. Yeah, if they are wearing hijab and not wearing makeup, then it's not a problem. But knowingly that they are not wearing hijab and they are wearing makeup, inviting these people or facilitating in the invitations is all part of the same thing. If you just facilitate for the whole stage to be decorated, you're not inviting, you're just helping one of your friends and he's hosting the ceremony, you go there, you help him, you hang things, you put tables, you put chairs, and you are facilitating the lahab and la'ib which is about to happen. Are you facilitating magic? Are you facilitating this thing or this munkar? If you are facilitating the munkar or lahab and la'ib or magic or all these things which are not permissible, then you are also taking a share in the same haram. Likewise, when it comes to ceremony, the next thing which should be kept in mind is also dancing. Dancing and raqs is something which Islam does not allow. There is only one exception in Islam. One exception in dancing which is allowed, and that is the wife can dance in front of the husband. That's okay. That's the mustasna, an exception. No problem with that. Anything else that's not permissible? Some of the maraji have permissible the folk dancing. Some have allowed that. But those are like one or two only. But most of, overwhelming majority of our maraji, they just believe in this. Dancing is not permissible except this one scenario, which is the wife can dance in front of the husband. That's okay. And when it comes to dancing, I mean, except for this, I already said that, I don't need to repeat it over and over again, except for this, but the rest of the cases, whether it is with the music, without the music, it doesn't make any difference. Whether there are one person present, that there is several people present, whether it is, women in front of women, or men in front of men, or women in front of men, or men in front of women, all those cases are not permissible in Islam, with music or without music, doesn't matter. Yeah, some people have a beard, but when they go to these gatherings, they shave the beard because they are just afraid people will make fun of them. Well, it's really does not matter. Shaving, of course, is not allowed in Islam, but it doesn't matter if somebody makes fun of you or not. I mean, It's a religious ruling. We have to take care of that. We have to do it. And some people, you know, just go to the lady's side and towards where the bride is sitting, just for the sake of tabriq, you know, congratulating the bride. It doesn't matter whatever excuse you can use, just for the sake of tabriq and you know, mubarak guftan, saying that, you know, mubarak, you know, and this and that. That really doesn't matter, whatever you are, whatever excuse you can bring. I mean, Islam is a religion which upholds spiritual values. When we know that women are not sitting with hijab, you're not supposed to go there. For whatever reason you can say, bring, that doesn't matter. Or when the women are wearing the makeup under their lady's side, we are not supposed to go there for whatever reason. That's not right. That's not acceptable. Even dancing alone. If somebody can say, "What if I want to dance alone? I mean, there's nobody watching me. I just want to dance alone." Well, dancing alone, even if there's no one watching you, is also not permissible in Islam, because in that case it will fall in the category of lahw, and lahw is not permissible. And we already defined lahw in front of you, that lahw is something that makes you engaged and involved in itself, away from the dhikr and remembrance of Allah. Allah wants a human being to always remember the Creator. So even if somebody is dancing alone, it will fall in the category of lahw, and so it is not right. And also it will be falling in the category of la'ib as well. Okay, the next thing about the ceremony is singing. Another common thing that we find it is permissible in Islam for the women to sing. That's the only exception which I'm mentioning here in the marriage. The woman can sing in front of women if there is no non-mahram listening. If there's no non-mahram listening, then this is an exception. The woman can sing in front of the woman in the marriage. We are talking about the marriage only right now. Don't generalize this thing. I'm talking about the marriage. It's allowed for the woman to sing in front of a woman those of the songs only which are related to marriage, only those songs, not all the rest of the songs, plus at the time of marriage, not before marriage or after marriage. So we have three conditions to take care of. First of all, the woman should be singing in front of women only. There is no non-mahram present who can listen to their voice. Second of all, the songs which are related to marriage, not any other song. Third of all, which has to be done at the time of marriage, you know, that is okay.
Staying in a gathering where any of these things is taking place is also, I think I said that, but just to, you know, emphasize this, staying in such a gathering where anything, any such thing is taking place is also not permissible in Islam, because you have to respectfully take a stand and you cannot stay silent over the wrongs going on. Even if a wife sings in front of her husband, that is also not permissible in Islam if the song has tarjih and ghina. If it is categorized as ghina and it has the tarjih in it, because tarjih is haram in Islam. So any kind of voice which has tarjih in it, that is ghina and a song and a haram song. And if it does not have tarjih, it's okay. Yeah, I will explain that. So any kind of song which has tarjih is a haram song. And even a wife is not permissible, is not allowed for a wife to sing a song in front of the husband only with tarjih, because tarjih itself is not permissible in Islam. And so tarjih is basically a sifat al-salt. It's an attribute of the voice. It's a way of making the sound from your throat, which is usually the way they use in all the songs. You know, almost all of them, they use it. And which the kind of sound that they produce from their throat, and it has a way, like with the ups and downs. Like if you make a graphical presentation of this tarjih, you know, sometimes in the waves of the sound are like this, this is okay. But if the waves of the sound are like this, like the heartbeat, this is what will fall in the category of tarjih. And that's what they usually do in almost all the songs. Even if you read Quran, with that kind of sound that is usually produced with tarjih, even reading Quran will become haram. So actually some of the recitations done by some of the Sunni Qaris, some famous Sunni Qaris, were the Mujtahideen from Najaf, they gave the fatwa. Some Mujtahideen from Najaf have given the fatwa that it, listening to those recitations of Quran is also haram because it has tarjih. So any kind of recitation, you read the Noha, Latmiya, or you read Quran, or you sing a song. The song is exactly what haram song is, the one which usually has tarjih in it. That's the way they produce their voice from the throat, which looks good, and that's the way the song sells. And this is not what Islam and Allah permits. So even if a wife sings a song which has tarjih in it, will be haram, even if there is no non-mahram present, because tarjih itself is haram. And singing songs by the woman, for the woman, at the time of marriage, if there is no non-mahram present, listening to their voices is allowed. If the songs are related to the marriage, plus they do the singing at the time of marriage only, this is permissible. If you want, I can take it. take the questions.
Just a little bit is remaining. Even for the sake of the women who are participating in the ceremonies, if they know that there is a male photographer invited by somebody, and or somebody taking video or photos, and these photographs will be, of course, if she's not wearing hijab, that's what we are talking about. If the woman is not wearing hijab and she knows the photographer is there and they will take the photographs, of course, first of all, taking photographs for him is not permissible, and for her is also not permissible to allow the male person come and take her photograph and she is not wearing hijab or she is wearing makeup, and it's not allowed for her to get photographed. And even if the person taking photographs is a woman, but if you know that this woman is going to take my photograph and show it to other men, then it will not be allowed for this woman to get photographed without hijab. And the last thing about the ceremonies, the last major thing, is makeup. Well, it's permissible for the woman to do the makeup if there are only the women are present there and there is no non-mahram man there. That's not a problem at all in Islam. They can always do the makeup. If somebody has a beauty parlor, a hair salon where they make up the brides, they do the makeup for the brides. So if you know that a woman is you are doing this makeup for a woman and for this bride, and she is going to go in front of non-mahram people without hijab, then it will not be permissible for you to do that for her. If you don't know whether she is going to go in front of non-mahram men, then it's okay for you. It's not your obligation because you don't know. And it's not your obligation to research about that. Where is she going to go and how she is going to go, with hijab or without hijab? That's not none of your business and not your obligation to research. But if you happen to know that for sure, then of course we cannot be a partner in haram. If you happen to know that some woman is doing this makeup and she is going to go in front of non-mahram people, then we don't facilitate the wrongs and we cannot be part of it. It will be considered as ta'awun in a sin, help and assistance in a sin which is not allowed in Islam. If you don't know, then it is okay. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina wa nabiyyina Muhammadin wa alihi at-tahirin. You are free to ask questions.